Yeah.
But I went away to 6 o'clock before I, he talked to her.
Actually, none of the public comment forms are in the city.
That's what I thought. You got two subdivisions, big side.
Here, you want to sign your names beforehand?
Yeah.
Now, sign me just.
What's Marcher Trails to the south?
Albury Trails, I think they're larger lots. Craig and I drove through and they look like.
They did, me too.
Larger lots. Country Club Greens looks like about the same. Doug might be able to, that might be a question for him. Hopefully they studied all that, I'm sure.
I hope they do. What did this group do? What did this?
I believe it was in denial. Who are here?
No, I was out of town.
The mic's not on yet.
Should be 19 total, including the 5 that were in your pocket.
Oh, good. Is there a body right there?
At this time, I'd like to call to order the Planning and Zoning Commission meeting of April 10th, 2017. The time is now 6 p.m. At this time, anyone will be allowed to speak on any matter other than personnel matters or matters under litigation for a length of time not to exceed 3 minutes. No commission discussion or action may take place on a matter until such matter has been placed on the agenda and posted in accordance with law. Do we have anyone who wants to speak now? No one. Is there anybody who would like to speak now who has not signed up? Thank you. Are there any reports and announcements to be heard? Okay. Consideration to approve the minutes of the regular Planning and Zoning Commission meeting of March 9, 2017. Is there a motion to approve the minutes?
I make a motion to approve the minutes.
Thank you, Commissioner Dunnigan. Is there a second?
Second.
Okay. Thank you, Commissioner Rockmore. All right. Is there any discussion or corrections to the minutes? Please enter your vote now.
Motion carries unanimously.
Thank you. 5.0, new business. 5.1, consideration to approve final plat of Quick Quack Development Tomball, a subdivision of 0.8043 acres of land being a replat of Lot 14, Block 7, BVM, Main Street, Tomball, a subdivision of record in the FC number 675573 of the HCMR, and Lot 13, Block 7 of Main Street, Tomball, a subdivision of record in Volume 15, page 43 of the HCMR, located in the Joseph House Survey, A34, City of Tomball, Harris County, Texas. Staff, could we have a report, please?
Good evening. The first plat for tonight is Quick Quack Development Tomball, located on the southwest corner of Main and Lawrence. It is zoned commercial and Old Town mixed use. One lot is being created of 0.8043 acres. This is a copy of the plat that was submitted for our review. And community development recommends approval contingent upon the following items: submit original Harris County and Tomball ISD tax certificates and pay the correct fees.
Okay, is that it? Thank you. Is there a motion to approve with contingencies?
Motion to approve with contingencies.
Thank you, Commissioner Rockmore. Is there a second?
Second.
Thank you, Commissioner Anderson. Is there any questions or discussion? Seeing none, please enter your vote now.
Motion carries unanimously.
Thank you. Consideration 5.2, consideration to approve final plat of Rally Creek, Section 3, being 14.7098 acres of land situated in the Joseph Miller Survey, Abstract Number 50, Harris County, Texas, and also being a replat of Reserve I of Raleigh Creek Section 2 as filmed in, recorded in Film Code Number 663121 HCMR. Staff, could we have a report, please?
Raleigh Creek Section 3 is a replat located north of Zion Road in the Raleigh Creek subdivision. 41 lots are being created with three reserves, 14.7098 acres. This is a copy of the plat that was submitted for our review. And Community Development recommends approval with the following contingencies: add signature block for the lien holder and remove building lines.
Okay, thank you. Is there a motion to approve with contingencies?
Motion to approve with contingencies.
Thank you, Commissioner Anderson. Is there a second?
Second.
Thank you, Commissioner Rockmore. Is there any discussion or questions? Seeing none, please enter your vote now.
Motion carries unanimously.
Thank you. 5.3, consideration to approve final plat of USAIL. A replat of lots 47 and 48 in Block 86 into new lot 47, 0.1607 acres, 7,000 square feet, and Block 86 of revised map of Tomball. In addition, in Harris County, Texas, according to the map or plat thereof, recorded in Volume 4, page 25 of the map records of Harris County, Texas. Said Block 86 line in the Ralph Hubbard Survey, A383. Staff, could we have a report, please?
The next plat for our review is USI 1, a replat located on the southwest corner of Moore and Willow Street. It's zone SF6. One lot's being created, and it's 0.1607 acres. This is a copy of the plat that was submitted to Community Development for our review. And we recommend approval contingent upon the following items: submit Harris County tax certificates, add a note referencing the Board of Adjustments case that authorized a variance, confirm lot numbers for blocks 85 and 86, and fix typos.
All right. Thank you. Is there a motion to approve with contingencies?
I make the motion to approve with contingencies.
Thank you, Commissioner Dunnigan. Is there a second?
Second.
Thank you, Commissioner Anderson. Are there any questions or discussion? Please enter your vote now.
Motion carries unanimously.
Thank you. 5.4. Consideration to approve final plat of Hogan Crumb, being a 9.7923 acre tract of land in the Ralph Hubbard Survey, Abstract Number 383 of Harris County, Texas, being a replat of a portion of outlots number 18, 24, 30, and 36 of the Tomball Town site, a subdivision according to the map or plat thereof, recorded in Volume 2, page 65 of the map records of Harris County, Texas, and being out of and part of a called 15.2374 acres as described in deed recorded in clerk's file number X609278 of real property records of Harris County, Texas, and also including all of that portion of Stasney Road abandoned by the city of Tomball to Daniel Rodano in instrument recorded in clerk's file number 201-001-63186 of said real property records. Staff, could we have a report? Just one moment.
Madam Chairman, I need to step down on this one since I am the next door neighbor to this property.
All right, thank you. Can you record that? All right, could we have a report now, please?
Yes. The last plat on the agenda for tonight is Hogan Crum, a replat. It's north of Huff Smith Road, zoned commercial and SF20. One lot is being created of 7923 acres. This is a copy of the plat that was submitted for our review. Community Development has the following comments. Submit original Harris County tax certificates. Clarify easements noted in the city planning letter dated March 1st, 2017. Show square footage with two digits to the right of the decimal point. And plat the 0.85 acre remainder of the tract with the right-of-way and easement dedications. Add owner and lien holder signature blocks for that lot. Based on the significance of the last comment, Community Development does not recommend approval.
Thank you. Is there a motion to approve with contingencies?
Motion to approve with contingencies.
Thank you, Commissioner Anderson. Is there a second?
Second.
Thank you, Commissioner Rockamore. Is there any discussion or questions of staff? Please enter your vote now. Waiting for Dane.
Yeah, but Dane's not going to vote.
I got it. I'll hit abstain.
Abstain, correct.
Thank you.
Motion fails unanimously.
Okay. 5.5, consideration to approve zoning case P17-0012. Request by Francisco Choi on behalf of Tamara Wood LLC to operate an assisted living facility, continuing care retirement community at 609 South Pine Street. The property is approximately 2 acres, legally described as parts of Outlots 127 and 129 5-acre tracts, Tomball Outlots. Generally located on the east side of South Pine Street between James Street and Cherry Laurel Street, and is zoned office district. Staff, could we have a presentation?
Thank you. Good evening, Commission. This is an aerial image showing the property outlined in red. As mentioned, it's located on South Pine Street between James Street and Cherry Laurel Street. It's just east of the Tomball Public Works building. This is an image of the subject site. It's currently undeveloped. Just to give you some background on the case, in December of last year, city staff met with the property owner and a potential purchaser of the property, and after discussing different options, the applicant submitted a rezoning request as well as a conditional use permit request for an assisted living facility, continuing care retirement community. In March, the Planning and Zoning Commission and City Council did approve the rezoning, and so here we are with the CUP request. And I did want to mention that the applicant is the current owner of the memory care facility Forever Young Senior Living, which is located just to the north of this subject site. The property is zoned office district. Surrounding properties include single family 6th district and multifamily. The future land use map and the comprehensive plan designates the subject site as high density residential. Surrounding designations include high density residential, medium density residential, and employment office. This is the proposed concept plan that was submitted for the assisted living facility. As mentioned, since the applicant is the current owner of the existing memory care facility, they will have access through that parking lot. The required public notification was met for this case, and we did receive one public comment form that was submitted to the commission. And after reviewing the request, city staff does recommend approval. The request for the CUP is generally appropriate with the surrounding areas of the memory care facility and the public works building and service center. The request is an appropriate buffer between the existing residential development and the public works building, and the request will have the appropriate buffers and required screening to protect the surrounding residences. The applicant is here to address the commission.
Thank you. Will the applicant please come forward to present the case? Please state your name and address for the record.
Good evening, Chairman, Commissioners. My name is Philip Dupre, and I represent Francisco Choi. I'm from Cedar Park, Texas. Francisco's from Georgetown. He's the architect, and I'm helping him with zoning and conditional use permits. From my time in the Army and an IBM on the Cedar Park City Council, I learned that completed staff work is a case that is fully researched, with a well-founded recommendation, and that allows you to make an informed decision. The staff presentation you just saw is one of the best completed staff works I've seen. You're blessed to have a good city staff. It not only included everything the applicant submitted, it included the other information you need about the location, applicable ordinances, and the land use plan. There's everything that there is to know about the site. I'd like to give you some information about the applicant so you'll know they're qualified to pull off the project they propose. The Tamiro part of Tamiro Wood is the power couple of architect Francisco Choi and Dr. Mary Ann Choi. Francisco Choi has designed high-rises, office buildings, warehouses in California, New York, and Texas, and 5 assisted living facilities in Texas and Florida. Dr. Mary Ann Choi is one of the best geriatric doctors in Texas. Governor Perry appointed her as co-chair of the Texas Health and Human Services Commission 10 years ago, where she still serves. Dr. Choi was also the chief medical officer of a billion-dollar company that operated 40 nursing homes, 45 assisted living facilities, home health care, and hospices. She oversaw a staff of more than 1,500 doctors, nurses, and nurse practitioners. The Wood part of Tamiro Wood is Steve Wood, who was the chief financial officer of that large company that had 30,000 employees, and he now owns other memory care and assisted living facilities on his own. They're all experts in their field, but they really don't know how to apply for rezoning or conditional use permits, so here I am. Any questions I can answer for you?
All right. If you'll have a seat, we'll call you back if we have any questions.
Thank you,
ma'am. Thank you very much. The public hearing on zoning case P17-0012 is now called to order. Let the record show the time is now 6:15. Is there anyone here that would like to speak regarding this request? You'll have 3 minutes to speak. Please state your name and address for the record. Do you have anybody who'd like to speak regarding this? Hearing none. Public hearing is now closed and the time is now 6:15. Okay, may I have a motion to approve zoning case P17-0012?
Motion to approve.
All right, thank you, Commissioner Rockmore. Is there a second?
Second.
Thank you, Commissioner Dunnigan. Is there any discussion or questions of staff or applicant? Seeing none. All right, please enter your vote now.
Motion carries unanimously.
Thank you. Five point six, consideration to approve zoning case P17-0023. Request by Scott McKenzie on behalf of BCDE Limited to amend Chapter 50 zoning of the Tomball Code of Ordinances by rezoning approximately 70.3574 acres of land, legally described as Reserve C, C1 and C2 Tomball Greens, within the city of Tomball, Harris County, Texas, generally located on the east side of Huffsmith-Corville Road, north side of Spell Road, from the single-family 9 district to the planned development district. Staff, could we have a presentation, please?
This is an aerial image showing the property highlighted in red. The city limits are kind of overlapping it in purple. This is the subject site view off of Huffsmith-Corville. It's currently undeveloped. And this is the frontage along Spell Road. Some background on the case. The property was annexed into the city and zoned from agricultural to SF9 in 2014. In early 2016, city staff began meeting with the property owner to discuss the possibility of rezoning the subject site. The developer had altered the proposed development to include smaller lots ranging from 6,500 to 7,800 square feet. And in order to accommodate this plan, he did request a rezoning from single family 9 to single family 6 back in October, and the request was denied. The property, as mentioned, is currently zoned single family 9. Property to the west is zoned light industrial, and all other properties surrounding the subject site are outside of the city limits. The comprehensive plan future land use map designates the property as medium density residential, which includes lots ranging from 6,000 to 20,000 square feet. Properties to the west are designated rural residential and business industrial, and again, all other properties are outside the city limits. This is an illustration that's based on a site plan designed by the applicant and representatives at Jones and Carter. It shows that as the property currently sits as a single-family nine zoning district, approximately 201 lots can fit on the approximately 70 acres by right. And what I mean by right is the applicant would just have to submit a plat to be reviewed by city staff and approved by the commission, and then infrastructure and drainage plans, and then site and building plans for each lot. So this is what could happen tomorrow if the applicant so wished. The current request is for a planned development district, which is a new request from the previous request back in October of single family six. It's important to note that this request is also less intense than the single family six request. The applicant has proposed a maximum number of lots of 260, whereas the single family six district could have accommodated up to 300 lots. Also, I received a few public comment forms and questions from some people about what exactly a planned development is. So just to clarify, a planned development is its own zoning district. So an applicant proposes whatever they want, but if for some reason something were to happen and the property gets sold, it can't change to another planned development. It's set as a residential development. So if this request is approved, it can't change into a commercial or a retail or a industrial tract. It is specifically for a residential community. And also the applicant would be tied to the plan development ordinance and the concept plan shown on the screen. I'm sure the applicant will discuss this concept plan in greater detail. Also, I'd like to mention again that if the request is approved, they would have to meet all the development regulations passed in the PD. So in looking at the plan development regulations, the applicant's request does appear to be consistent with the goals of the plan development district by providing superior lot designs, superior designs on lots or buildings. For example, the development will include two lot options as opposed to a one lot option. And also there will be exterior finish regulations, tree requirements on each lot, as well as alternative garage setback designs. The development will also provide increased recreation and open space opportunities for public use and enjoyment. For example, the development will have trails, multiple pedestrian plazas, and other recreational amenities. The development will provide amenities or features that would be of special benefit to the property users and the community as a whole. The development will include landscape buffers and fences along Huffsmith Corville and Spell Road that will enhance the area. And the development will meet and exceed the standards of Chapter 50, which is the zoning section of the ordinance. The proposed development will incorporate all the mentioned regulations and amenities, and they all do exceed what's required in the code. Just want to reiterate that these are all things that are not currently required by the single family nine zoning district. These are all unique amenities and features that the city and the neighborhood would get with the approval of the plan development. Other regulations in the PD that are important to mention are that no building permit can be issued until the installation of the traffic signal at Huffsmith Corville and Spill Road. Craig will go into a little more detail about that. Also, there will be a boulevard entrance with landscaping and a monument sign, and again, a maximum number of lots of 260. This is a map that we had showing all of the existing subdivisions in the city. We realize that there's other residential areas in the city. However, in just looking at neighborhoods that would be at least a little bit similar to Alexander Estates, these are the ones that we have. I'll kind of show this is the approximate location of 2920. So as you can see, a majority of these neighborhoods are located on the north side of 2920. And while we understand that there are multiple neighborhoods in the area along the east side of Huffsmith Corville, the purpose of this map is just to show specifically neighborhoods that are within the city limits and to illustrate that the southeastern portion of the city does not have a residential neighborhood. Also wanted to point out the business and technology park that this neighborhood could serve is generally right across Huffsmith Corville from the site. Craig's going to talk about traffic and drainage.
Thank you. Just want to address some of the concerns that we've received from public comments from some of the nearby residents of the area. First of all, I want to also reiterate that I've received some updated information since the staff report, so some of the information I may conflict with what's in the staff report. With the rezoning, I did get a study from Jones and Carter that analyzed the additional traffic that would be generated from this development. With the traffic increase, they're looking at 32 additional trips during the busiest hour of the day. To put that in a little bit of perspective, the 32 additional trips would approximately be one additional vehicle every 2 minutes, once again, during the rush hour. So keep that in mind when you're reviewing this case. Also, as Amelia mentioned, that no building permits will be issued until the traffic signal is installed. At previous zoning discussions we had with this property, there was not a schedule for the traffic signal. Fortunately, now we do have an update, and it has been approved by Harris County, and the scheduled installation for that signal is in June of 2017. Also, I wanted to talk about the emergency access that's being proposed from Alexander Estates onto Huff Smith Corville Road. It's not only a secondary access for the subdivision, but it's also a secondary emergency access for all properties on the east side of Huff Smith Corville. Should there be an accident at the intersection of Spell and Huff Smith Corville, and that intersection was shut down, all property owners would be able to access that to get out to Huff Smith Corville. Also, I wanted to mention that Huff Smith Corville is scheduled to be widened by Harris County, with the first phase of the widening to begin later this year, as well as there's also now a preliminary schedule for the traffic signal at Holdereth and Huff Smith Corville, and that's to be expected early next year. I did also want to talk about drainage. I think you saw this map last time. This property is highlighted in red. It's a little bit hard to read, but the purple arrows basically show how the drainage goes today of the 70 acres. A lot of it goes, some of it goes down towards Spell Road. Some of it goes up to the northeast towards the Country Club's Greens subdivision. With the development, keep in mind there's going to be streets, there's going to be gutters, there's going to be intercepting of that stormwater runoff, and that intercepted stormwater runoff will be routed to an on-site detention pond that's proposed at the northeast corner of the site. One of the things that I want to mention, since there's been some concerns from nearby residences about the flooding on Spell Road, is that currently today, with the uncontrolled runoff that's leaving the site, you're looking at about 40% of the 70 acres drains directly to Spell Road. With the development and the interception of that drainage, as I just mentioned, by curbs and gutters and storm sewer networks, they're looking at 3% of the site after development draining into Spell Road, and that'll be a few of the rear lots that are proposed along Spell Road. And once again, the detention pond will be designed to release at controlled rates, and what I mean by controlled rates is essentially a detention pond operates through historic, you look at the historical runoff, you calculate that, and this site will be releasing drainage or their runoff at historic rates. The proposed detention design is to be routed through a culvert out of that detention pond, subsurface into the golf course detention pond, and then that has an overflow spillway that drains directly into a tributary of Willow Creek. So once again, the fact that it's sub below ground is a good thing to make sure that that runoff that's routed through Country Club Greens is addressed appropriately. And also I wanted to mention, and Amelia made this point as well, is should this be approved, there will be very detailed engineering designs submitted to both the city and the county. I failed to mention that the county is also an approval agency for this. They have to approve the detention outfall since it drains into their system, as well as the access point onto Spell Road. So you've got their technical individuals looking at the all of the engineering design, as well as the city staff's technical individuals as well. With that, I'll turn it back over to Amelia.
Thanks. Just to wrap up here, the required public notification for this case was met. We did receive 19 public comment forms that were submitted to the commission. After reviewing the case and based on the information presented to the commission, city staff does recommend approval. The proposed rezoning is in conformance with the city's comprehensive plan. It's appropriate with the existing developments in the area. It will add a unique residential development with multiple amenities and superior standards to enhance the community. And also, staff does not anticipate any adverse impacts by the proposed plan development. The applicant is here and has prepared a presentation for the commission.
Thank you.
Will the applicant please come forward, present your case, state your name and address for the record, please?
My name is Doug Ipson, 24522 Creekview Drive, Spring, Texas. We're coming before the commission one more time to discuss our development. We have gone from a request of SF6 and created a planned development, hopefully to address any of the concerns that were brought up the last time. Since our last presentation, we've done a lot to evaluate drainage. We've done a lot to evaluate traffic. We've aggressively approached traffic by actually doing our own study. Not a full-blown study, but a traffic count. And we've shared that with the city. We've got today Stan Winter to talk about our planning. We've got Terry Reeves with Jones and Carter to talk about our drainage. We've got Ed Shackelford with Jones and Carter to talk about traffic and future plans for Hudsmith-Corville Road. We started this project back in 2014 when we first got annexed into the city and zoned. Prior to that, this property was part of the comprehensive plan, and it was a future land use of part industrial and part residential. The part on Spell Road was industrial. The part backing up to Country Club Greens was residential. We took the whole property and changed it to SF9. Since that, we've designed the subdivision SF9, and we've completed the construction drawings to develop the property. When I say we've completed them, we've done a full set of drainage calculations. We've done all of the sheets that we would use to construct the subdivision. We've had them reviewed by Harris County. We've had them reviewed by Tomball with very minor comments. We were prepared to move forward before until the time changed and the economy changed and this site changed. We came back now with our new request to develop a subdivision that we think will be successful and a benefit to Tomball. It'll be a subdivision that will start and will finish with the same developer and the same group of builders. Our business plan is to bring in two of the top 20 builders in the city of Houston. We're not going to go with any builder. We're going to go with builders that meet the criteria and are judged as being the top 20 builders in Houston. With that, I'll hand it over to Stan.
Thank you, Madam Chair, Commissioner.
Please state your name and address.
My name is Stan Winter. I'm with Jones and Carter. And I'd like to focus my presentation tonight on attributes of the planned development, and really explain why this is different and how it is different and, quite frankly, superior to the previous request, which was to rezone this for SF6. This site, I think Doug was going to mention, was at one point planned for more industrial along Spell Road. And through this process of history of working this out, we determined that the best use for this property was single-family development. And consistent with that, we have revised our application to plan development based on a schematic plan similar to this. Some of the benefits to the city of a planned development that will really assure the city, give them the controls and tools that they need that will result in a superior development, include we have made a provision, a condition of approval that requires improvements in traffic. We have to adhere to a specific site plan. We've set the maximum number of lots, and then there are additional requirements for landscape and open space. And then in addition, there are written regulations that will provide additional requirements for the builders in terms of building finishes and other attributes like that. As I mentioned, one of the provisions is we cannot develop any lots until the traffic signal is installed at Hudsmith-Corville and Spell Road. I know there's a schedule now. We expect that City Council will approve the funding and the bids for that construction. But if it doesn't, we can't go forward, because if this ordinance is approved, it is a condition that we will not be allowed building permits until that traffic signal is constructed. One of the issues that that we've talked about, and actually the plan that we've submitted tonight, restricts access to Huff Smith Corville Road. We feel that it is safer if the traffic from this subdivision is provided ingress, egress directly to Spell Road. The number of vehicles per day on Spell Road now, when the traffic light is installed, that traffic light is not warranted by the traffic on Spell Road today. So providing more traffic onto Spell Road allows the lights to cycle more efficiently. In my subdivision, you know, I wait a long time for the light to turn green. I have to make sure no one's coming, and then it's not green very long before it turns red to allow the traffic to flow as it would here on Huff Smith Corville. However, having received feedback from residents in the area, the developer is not opposed to making it a condition of approval that we would provide an additional access intersection onto Huff Smith Corville. It may be restricted to a right turn in, right turn out only, but that would allow for the lots and the neighbors on the north side of the subdivision to access directly to Huff Smith Corville without going down to Spell Road. So the point is we're open to that as a condition. As I said, the plan has to adhere to this specific site plan, which requires landscape reserves and landscape buffers in the plan, and restricts the maximum number of lots to 260. It also requires that we create multiple lot sizes, that it's not just a generic lot size. We have the diversity of product that is required in the plan development. And the PD would allow for lots that are a minimum 6,000 square feet. In fact, our lots are planned to be larger than that. They're planned to be 130 feet deep, which is designed to really respond to market demands for more single-story residential homes that is very appealing to empty nesters. So we are making it a requirement that we'll have multiple lot sizes in the plan. In contrast, just to show you what would be permitted based on the SF6, the previous application would allow, if they were all developed at the minimum lot size, over 300 lots. In contrast to what is now entitled with the SF9 of over 200 lots. There's not a big difference in terms of permeable and impermeable area if you contrast or compare the two plans. The city has a requirement that requires 40% of the lot remain or the maximum 40% is impermeable. And if you compare that lot size, basically with a bigger lot, you have a larger permitted impermeable area. With a smaller lot, you have more lots, but it's a smaller area. When you do the calculation, it results in about 5,700 square feet of more impermeable area on the plan that we're proposing on the PD. So it doesn't result in a significant increase in the runoff. Also, compared to what is now entitled with the SF9, with the PD, there are additional requirements and restrictions. With the plan development, there is a requirement for lot configurations that require that 20% of the homes will have an alternative garage setback. And an alternative garage setback would include like a J-swing lot where you would drive in and turn left into your garage or right, and garage setbacks or pass-through garage. And this requirement greatly improves the street scene and the marketability of the subdivision. It results in a more attractive subdivision. The PD will require that each lot provide, at minimum, two trees that are 4-inch caliper, 10-foot tall on each lot. This is not currently required in the city zoning, but will be a requirement of the PD. And then in addition to the landscaping that would be provided on each lot, the subdivision will have additional requirements for landscape buffers and open space, sidewalks, and pedestrian trails. The detention area, which is a key component of how our drainage will function, will be amenitized. We will make that a wet bottom feature. We will provide a pedestrian path around it. And then all of the lots that are backing to the detention area are required to have an open style decorative fence. This is also the site of one of the two required pedestrian plazas that is written into the PD. The pedestrian plaza is an area that's 500 square feet minimum, features decorative paving, two benches, some decorative planting, and additional shade trees. In addition to that, centrally located within the plan is an additional minimum 3/4-acre recreation site. It must have frontage on two public streets. It will also be required to have a pedestrian plaza, and will also feature at least one of the following: a shade structure, a fire pit, and or a water feature. And then lastly, in the restrictions are requirements on the builder for enhanced building finishes. We've defined a primary finish and require that the front facade have 85% brick, stone, or glass, and then all four sides will have at least 50% of a primary finish, and then also restricted certain less attractive materials from the development. With that, if I could turn this over to Mr. Reeves to talk a little bit about drainage. I'll let the experts talk about drainage and traffic.
Okay, and could we get your address before you step back?
6126 Coral Ridge Road, Houston, Texas.
Thank you.
Hi, Doug. Terry Reeves. Address is 26315 Wooded Hollow Lane, Katy, Texas. I'm also with Jones and Carter.
Thank you.
So I guess earlier we really kind of went through the concept of the drainage, but I just want to go through it one more time and then make sure you guys don't have any questions on it. So kind of looking up at the screen, there's kind of a light dash blue area, and it kind of shows what's currently going down to Spell Road. And as we indicated, it's a little less than or a little more than 40% of the property, about 30 acres. And all that property, all that drainage now goes to Spell Road and then kind of sheet flows to the east. And that's where a lot of the issues that most people encounter come from today. In the post-development, actually there's a better picture of what actually happens today, is the 43%, the 30 acres. All that naturally sheet flows down to Spell and then kind of east. So in the post-development, what's going to happen is all that water is going to be collected in the internal storm sewer drainage. It's going to be routed to that detention basin that's in the rear, and then it's going to be piped out in underground storm sewer. So that 30 acres that used to go out to Spell Road and cause a lot of the issues is removed from the drainage area, and it's put back through a system that it contains a peak. So when it rains like very, very hard, which is where the issues are, it all runs off real fast, and then those areas don't have storm sewer drainage systems. They just have shallow roadside ditches. Now they're put into a detention basin. That detention basin can hold that water for an extended period of time and then let it release out slowly through a controlled structure. That was quick. So, I mean, that's generally what the guys did. Gentlemen, I discussed earlier. I just want to make sure you guys don't have any questions about how that would operate. All right.
Thank you.
Thank you, ma'am.
The public hearing on zoning case.
Barbara.
But, I think they're done.
I'm the last one.
Sorry,
that's quite all right.
You're up there.
Good evening. My name is Ed Shackelford. I'm also with Jones and Carter. Address is 8701 New Trails Drive, Suite 200, Woodlands, Texas, 77381. And my purpose this evening is to talk to you a little bit about capital improvements that are planned in the area. Mr. Myers talked briefly about the traffic light at Huffsmith Corville and Spell Road. It is out for bid. Bids are due on April 25th to the Tomball Purchasing Department, and if council accepts those bids, it's anticipated contractor would be on the ground within 60 days to construct. Next item, traffic signal at Huffsmith Corville and Holdereth. If you look at the Harris County Precinct 4 website this evening, they list that traffic signal out for bid, with bids due on May 1st through the Harris County Purchasing Department. And that would include, obviously, a traffic signal at the intersection and turn lanes northbound Huffsmith Corville to westbound Holdereth, and then eastbound Holdereth to northbound Huffsmith Corville. The county has an estimated cost of $660,000 for that project, and that is a joint project between Harris County and the Tomball Economic Development Corporation. Craig also mentioned Huffsmith Corville improvements. Talking with Precinct 4, they're hoping, their goal is May of 2017 to advertise the project from just south of Mahaffey Road up to 2920. That is the next phase that goes under construction. Now, the piece that is in front of this project, which is in Section 4, it's currently in the study phase. They're close to wrapping that up with a consultant, and it is anticipated to be bid in 2020, with construction probably taking about 6 to 9 months. They have other sections on the southern end of Huffsmith Corville that are planned to be constructed before this section. I think one of the questions that came up at the council meeting back in the fall was the distance between the Holdereth intersection with Huffsmith Corville and Spell Road. It was perceived at the time that there was maybe 500 feet between the intersections. Reality is it's a little over 1,000 feet. And if you look at what a typical turn lane length is, it's about 150 feet, and then you have about a 150 to 200 foot transition from that full lane width back to your travel lane. So there is ample room between the two intersections to construct turn lanes, to stage traffic as it builds or as it queues for a traffic signal to turn. That's the main thing we wanted to bring to you. Do want to reiterate from what Mr. Reeves had mentioned that the drainage, once this subdivision is constructed, if you all approve it and council approves, sends the majority of all the water, except for about 3% of it, up through the golf course and into another tributary of Willow Creek. The one part, let me see if I can go backwards. That may have been too far back. There was also a concern at the prior meeting about drainage, and it's demonstrated by this yellow arrows, if I can find it. You see the red arrows, which is kind of the areas that are currently draining to Spell Road, and then the yellow areas also drain some of the adjacent track. And I think the concern for homes in the neighborhood to the east, they were concerned about flooding, overland sheet flow. Yes, it's true. The yellow arrows do depict that. But the drainage from Alexander Estates is following the aqua-colored arrows and through the golf course, through their detention ponds and into Willow Creek, and does not affect the neighborhood at the east end of Spell Road. So we're happy to answer any questions if you all have any, and thank you for the opportunity to present.
Thank you.
You going to wrap up?
No, just one last thing. We have made our the study that we did concerning traffic available via a link. So we have videos of the traffic that were done on a continuous basis, and then the traffic study. So if anyone would like that information, they can follow this link and access all those files. I made 25 copies of that. If there are people who don't want to write all that down, I'll make those copies available.
Thank you.
Okay, now, the public hearing on zoning case P17-0023 is now called to order. Let the record show the time is now 6:49. Is there anybody here who would like to speak regarding this request? You will have 3 minutes to speak. Let's see, we have Robert Anderson signed up. If you would like to please come up.
Hello, Robert Anderson. My family and I live at 21230 Belmont Farms Drive in Tomball. We live off of Spell Road. We also own a property at the end of Spell Road, which is Zero Spell Road. My biggest concern, to some degree, has been alleviated by the developer's comments today, which were totally different from 6 months ago when we were here and we voiced our opinions and our opposition of many of the aspects of this development going from SF9 to SF6. With the light at Spell Road that is soon to come, I guess, and a light at Holdreth and Huffsmith-Corville, some of those events help us. I still am concerned that we only have one way in and out for us residents on Spell Road, and the access is very critical to us when there are accidents. Earlier, I guess it was April the 4th, so last week there was an accident on Huffsmith-Corville that shut down our access into and out of Spell Road. Unfortunately, it was a very fatal accident. These kinds of things are going to continue to happen as the industrial site grows and we get more industrial residents, and bringing in an extra number of homes above and beyond what have already been approved seems like we're going to continue to have problems. So that is one of the issues. Flooding, I think we had a much better presentation today regarding flooding than we did 6 months ago, so I'm a little bit relieved in the way they've presented their plans. I guess what I want to know now is from the builder and the development is why all of a sudden is our safety concern getting us a light at Spell Road when 6 months ago there was no talk of this? That's the first thing. The second thing is they talked about having SF or this planned development allowing them to have single story homes on larger lots. It seems to me if we stayed at SF9, we have larger lots. We can get the kind of homes they want. So there's a critical argument against why they want to go to this planned development. I also don't know why we can't have a planned development with nice walking paths and the things they talked about under the SF9 that they have currently. Couldn't the builder just put in a nice walking path around the property as it is? We don't need some other zoning issue to be able to create that. And lastly, the security of our families on Spell Road is what is of utmost importance to us, and I'm not sure why the developer can't have his ingress egress onto Huffsmith-Corville directly. There's already access roads there. He's going to have some development, and their security or their safety and emergency access onto that road. Why can't he have their emergency access onto Spell Road and have their main access just as other developments do along Huffsmith-Corville? So with that, I thank you for your time.
Thank you. Could I ask anybody in the audience, please put your phones on vibrate or turn them off? I would appreciate it. Thank you. What do we have next? Anybody else? Is there anyone else who would like to speak to the matter? So please state your name and address at the podium.
Just a quick note. Joseph Key, I live at 10987 Spell Road, just past the proposed site. I'm pleased in that the presentation had a lot more thought, work, and energy put into it from what you disapproved the last time. We were concerned about the volume of the traffic, and some of us, the neighbors, could argue about the traffic counts, because when you do 260 houses, most everybody has two cars now. That's 520 cars once it's fully built out. Most people have children now that demand a car, or they have parents living with them with another car. They have housekeepers. They have yard people. They have other vendors, plumbers, electricians, et cetera, coming and going. So the volume of traffic, in our opinion, just logically, is much greater. It was comforting to hear that the water would be reduced down to 3% from what it currently is. That's very good. This looks like a better property. The key thing I heard was not starting until the both lights are in. That would help safety and traffic. But the other big issue is to, they brought up, is to have this other exit on to Huffsmith Corville, even though it may only turn in one direction, along with the exit onto Spell Road, I think would greatly enhance safety, volume, especially for emergency vehicles if we had a wreck. And then the question would be, could other members of Spell Road have access through this development to that emergency exit out on the Huffsmith Corville if we could not use Spell Road? And the last thing for me is, I know a number of us have written in letters, and in 3 minutes we don't have time to go over that, but we just wanted to make sure that each of the voting members had a copy of that so that they could read through and just see some of the concern. We welcome the development. We want him to be successful and profitable. We just want to maintain the value of our properties. We made big investments back there, and we just want to make sure we're safe and that our investments are safe. Thank you.
Thank you. Is there anyone else who would like to speak at this time? If so, please come to the podium, state your name and address for the record. Thank you.
Good evening. My name is James Alsop. I live at 21202 Belmont Farms in Tomball. We've lived there for about 9 years. This is our third time living in the North Houston area. I've been transferred around in my work quite a bit, and we intentionally chose Tomball when we came back. Having not lived here before, we lived in Spring and Magnolia, and really had an affinity to Tomball. And we really enjoy the lifestyle, and would like to see that continue that we've enjoyed so far. In general, I support, my family and I support the development as it's currently zoned as SF9. And it's the change and the additional flexibility of the requested zoning change that has us concerned. Again, like others have spoken to, we're concerned about the increase in traffic, even with the traffic lights and with the primary entrance to the subdivision being on Spell Road, a small two-lane dead-end road. We have a lot of concern with that. That could be mitigated, of course, as you've heard, with an entrance off Huffsmith Corville. A flooding perspective, Spell Road, it'll overcome with water in large rain events. Currently, I think the additional rooftops, concrete, and so forth is going to add to that. I understand that the planned route for drainage isn't necessarily on Spell Road, but I fail to see how it can't be impacted to some degree. We'd heard some previously in October at the presentations that some of the zoning changes were on the basis of the economic climate at that time. And one of the meetings, one of the council women last year had talked about not making long-term decisions about our community based on short-term economic factors that we all know will improve. Even since October, the economic climate has improved. So I think that should be taken into consideration. So on behalf of my family and I, we request that you maintain the current zoning of SF9 and deny the request presented today. Thank you.
Thank you. Is there anybody else who would like to speak regarding this request? If so, you've got 3 minutes. State your name and address for the record.
Madam Chairman, do we have any comments about
this? 1 moment. Okay.
My name is Nick Dowd. I live at 1091.
Could you state your name again? I didn't hear you.
Sorry. Nick Dowd.
Thank you.
I live at 10910 Gallant Flag Drive, Tomball, Texas, 77375. We've got a large group of our residents here from across the street on Spell Road. We have two exits in and out of our neighborhood right now, currently one on Spell Road, and the other one exits out onto 2920. So one thing that we're concerned about is that, you know, with the traffic light, we anticipate that'll help some traffic with our current size. But if the traffic lights aren't timed correctly, that's going to back up traffic way down Spell Road, which is going to eliminate the factor of we can't turn right or left, because the turn lane to go left on Spell Road is only about 150 yards long. So 4 or 5 cars in, it's going to swing over and it's going to block all traffic, which is going to make us sit for 2 or 3 lights, which then is going to continuously build up traffic. So one of our things is, you know, we agree, we do want the development, but we'd like to see the main entrance and exit or a main functioning onto Hussmith Corville. There's a big enough gap between Spell and where they have the proposed entrance and exit to where they could use that as their main and have their emergency onto Spell. And another concern of ours is that with the entrance and exit main onto Spell is that we do have that back access out to 2920, which is easy access to other parts of town, is that increased traffic in our neighborhood for people cutting through to get to 2920 and access to head north on 99, things like that. We've already seen increased traffic, people running stop signs, putting the kids in danger, things like that. It really will make our subdivision a main thoroughfare, which is what we're trying to eliminate. So, you know, we would like to see it also stay at the SF9. And if they do stay there, is have an exit entrance off of Hussmith Corville. We just don't feel that a little Spell Road is, it's not going to be able to handle the traffic. So.
Thank you. Is there anyone else who would like to speak?
Good evening. My name is Quinn Powers, 10515 Silver Shield Way. I, like Nick, who just spoke, live in the Albert Charles community just east of the proposed site. I just want to voice my concern, very similar to very many people here that have spoken out today, just regarding the main entrance exit. I don't know what the main function or the reasoning is to have it going into Spell, but if you look at all the other communities that further up north up to Mahaffey, they all have that direct access onto Hussmith Corville. It makes no sense why, at the very least, you wouldn't open them both up, but if you're going to have an emergency exit entrance area, why you would not reverse that and have your main area onto Hussmith Corville. We went to a proposed, you know, functioning to for the proposal to be granted to, or shown to us in a way that we might accept it. We were told the reason is because we are getting the stoplight at Spell Road. The proposed emergency exit entrance is within 200 yards, I would say even closer than that, to Spell Road. That would create plenty of enough break in the traffic on Hussmith Corville to be able to safely turn in left or right out of their proposed community onto Hussmith Corville. There's no reason why that couldn't be granted to be the main entrance and exit. So that's my biggest concern. Also, like Nick said, the through traffic to get to 2920, 30 miles per hour, that seems pretty slow, but whenever you got kids playing all through the streets, that's insanely fast. And that's if people are actually following that 30 mile an hour rule. So that's all I have to say. Thank you.
Thank you. Is there anyone else who would like to speak? Hearing none. Okay. Would the applicant like to? Yes, sir. You'll be the last speaker.
Yes, my name's John Sickles. I live at 21006 Courtly Manor Court. I myself also, like some of the other residents here, live in Aubrey Trails Estates. Myself and my wife, we moved to Tomball just 2 years ago, getting out away from Houston, trying to come up, not be so crowded in, you know, subdivisions and stuff, and just have a little less chaotic of traffic and, you know, things going on. And since that we moved into Aubrey Trails, we have been excited about being in our neighborhood. I became one of the board of directors on our HOA board, and I've listened to a lot of concerns from our residents that I know some of them, you know, of course, they're not all here, but they voiced their concerns to myself and to other board of directors on this issue. Even though we do like the idea of a development because it would, you know, help out the community, but the traffic is a big major thing. Myself, I agree with what the gentleman from Spell Road said, that you know, having that emergency access on Spell Road would be a lot better than having it just on Huffsmith Corville Road and having their main entrance coming off of Huffsmith Corville. So that's basically how I feel. I just wanted to get that off my chest.
Thank you. All right. Would the applicant please like to come please come forward, and you have an opportunity to rebut.
Just want to reiterate a couple of things that have been mentioned during our presentation. The first one is, in the plan development, we commit to not building the development until the Spell Road, Huffsmith Kirkendall, Huffsmith Corville traffic signal is constructed. Not including the one at Holderies, just the Spell Road one. Several comments were addressing access, and I think Mr. Anderson was pointed out that there was a fatal accident there at the intersection recently. And so that alone is why we are focused on bringing traffic to Spell Road and through the traffic signal, with the option to bring the emergency access onto Huffsmith Corville. We're concerned about the safety of the residents, as everybody in the neighborhood is, so we want to make certain that they have the first option as the traffic signal, but with the second option to go out Huffsmith Corville if they're going in a different direction. There was also a comment about drainage, and I want to reiterate that once, if approved and once constructed, drainage goes out to the north and is controlled through the detention pond, and we're not adding to, we're actually taking away runoff onto Spell Road, which ultimately ends up at the far east end near Belmont Farm. So that helps improve it, but drainage ultimately in that area, and I dealt with it when I worked for Commissioner Ebersole, there is no public easements to take that water out to Willow Creek without property owners granting those easements, and so far no one has been willing to do that. I think that I just wanted to reiterate some things that were mentioned in the presentation. Do you all have any questions of us?
We'll ask that after we close.
All right, thank you.
Thank you very much. Okay. All right. The public hearing is now closed. The time is 7:07. May I have a motion to approve zoning case P17-0023?
Motion to approve.
Thank you, Commissioner Anderson. Is there a second?
Second.
Who spoke first? Thank you, Commissioner Dunnigan. All right. Is there a discussion or questions for staff or applicant?
I've got a question. Mr. Reeves, were you the one talking about the flooding? And
yes.
Okay. You're going to route the water over the golf course. This is the golf course that flooded a year ago?
No, it's going to be routed through a storm sewer system into their detention basin that then goes out to Willow Creek. I'm sorry.
Okay. I was under the impression you said that it would be routed through the golf course, or using the golf course's flooding.
It's going to go through, like,
where that little arrow is, and then kind of go northeast. Mm-hmm. And then there, if you kind of zoom out, let me see.
Yeah, if you can go, you can see it right back here on the golf course where the golf course is. And you were using the blue area, blue lines.
That this is actually an existing drainage pattern map.
Okay, now how do you get from your area through the housing subdivision?
So there's actually an open area between. Mm-hmm. There's like a lot that was purchased by this developer. And then there will be an underground storm sewer that will go through there and tie into that basin that's up in the north, I guess northeast side right there. Probably right. Yes, sir. So when it gets into there, you're now into a pretty deep floodplain that goes out to Willow Creek, right out there.
But it did flood last year, or year before last. I don't remember which year.
Yeah, it did.
That golf course flooded.
The bigger thing is...
Can y'all get permission to drop all that water through there?
Yes, sir. And the main thing, their main reason is it's released at a slower rate because of that detention basin that we construct on site. It captures the water in a 100-year event, and then it also has freeboard above it, and it comes out at a much lower velocity versus just flowing across there. It's contained in that basin, and maybe over, instead of immediately running off in 10 hours, it's running off over a day, 24 hours. So the peaks, those peak hours are significantly reduced.
Did I understand you correctly? You've got access right to put sewer line in there? That storm,
storm sewer line, yes, sir.
Okay.
And previously, under the original plan, under SF9, that was approved the first time, all that was approved.
Mm-hmm. Okay. How large is that?
Yeah.
The pipe, the underground.
I don't remember. I mean, it's going to be reduced to the pre-development flow that goes that direction. So if it's, say, today only the other 60% of the property goes that direction, mm-hmm. the restriction pipe would allow it to be contained at, mm-hmm. and then released at that undeveloped rate. Okay. So we're also over-detaining for what, I guess, the 30 acres that was going to spell, mm-hmm. held in the pond, mm-hmm. and then still released at a undeveloped rate.
All right.
Sorry.
It's okay.
42-inch pipe.
Thank you.
Restricted. Yeah. I thought Leah was going to say something.
Okay. Do you have any other questions? I know you do, Daryl.
Yeah. I'm sorry, not about flooding.
Okay.
Congestion.
Yeah.
Traffic.
Congestion. Okay. Mr. Shackelford.
You're the guy.
I will do my best to answer your question.
Well, you've heard most of the residents in the area talk about why isn't your main entrance on Huffsmith Corville as opposed to Spell Road, or why not make them both equal and have access in both areas?
Well,
and I guess I would want to ask, too, what do you mean by an emergency entrance? Is that
I may have misspoke on the emergency. The developer is willing to commit to building a second entrance, but not be the primary entrance.
How do you make the difference?
Well, the difference is Spell Road is going to have a traffic signal. I think Mr. Myers mentioned earlier that Spell Road alone does not warrant the traffic signal.
Right.
So because the traffic signal is going to be built, it's to serve Spell Road, the industrial park, and Huffsmith Corville and break up the traffic on Huffsmith Corville. The concern is with the second, if there, with the construction of a second entrance on the Huffsmith Corville, it won't warrant a traffic signal either. So anybody, if that were the primary entrance and somebody's coming out of there trying to turn left, they have to basically take their life in their hands to jump into traffic and be able to turn left. So
would everybody please be quiet? Thank you.
The advantage of the traffic signal allows anybody using Spell Road, not only possibly the residents of this neighborhood, but also the existing residents, they have the safer access to Huffsmith Corville. We all know, I'm a 22-year resident of the last 24 years of Tomball. I'm familiar with Huffsmith Corville and the traffic and how much it has built over the years. Huffsmith Corville is a busy road, no question. Is it at maximum capacity? No, it's not. You know, maximum capacity is about 7,500 cars per lane on a daily basis.
It's 7,500?
7,500. And right now, the total's around 11,000 based on the traffic counts that we've pulled. So it's not at maximum capacity, but the county is moving forward to widen the road to allow for safer access, period. But the main entrance for safety of the residents, all residents, is Spell Road with the traffic signal. There was a concern by one of the gentlemen that spoke earlier about how long a delay that red light might cycle. I don't know what that cycle time is. Normal, once it does turn green, you could have anywhere from 60 seconds to 90 seconds. And so that would be pretty sufficient to move traffic off of Spell Road without it backing up to the entrance of the existing neighborhood of Aubrey Trails.
Can somebody stand behind you?
You have any other questions, Joe?
I have my shadow.
I just wanted to add a planning perspective to the difference between the secondary entry and the primary entry. And I believe it's mostly aesthetic. I mean, once the street is constructed, both streets or intersections are in place, the difference is really just terminology of our primary entry being the boulevard entry. It's where we're going to put our signs and the pretty stuff. But in terms of function and traffic going ingress and egress to the subdivision, they will function the same. So
it'll be an open road.
Yes, sir. We're willing to... we're not opposed to that being a condition of this approval.
All right. Thank you.
Okay. Mr. Shockford, one of our earlier discussions...
Yes, ma'am.
Several years ago, back when y'all first started this project...
I hope my memory will work.
I hope yours does, because I'm hoping mine is. As I recall, we had the fire chief in here and the police chief to do some discussion on, because that was a big concern of ours, as to the safe entry and exit from your subdivision. The fire chief at that time requested, because you were not even going to have that second exit at the back that goes straight on to Husband Carville.
I vaguely remember that, yes, ma'am.
And he requested that an emergency exit be put there with a knox box on it to allow them automatic entry in and out in case of fire, because of the fact that the equipment cannot enter safely off of Spell Road.
Right.
The turning radius and all that they need for the big trucks.
And based on what Mr. Winter just mentioned, that resolves the fire department's concerns.
Right.
Because it wouldn't even need a box because it's
right. If you're going to go ahead and leave it open, because at that time it was not going to be open, but the fire department had requested. So now you are definitely going to make it an open in and out.
We're saying that we're willing to make that accept that as a condition of acceptance.
Can we put that in writing?
Yes. I just said it publicly yesterday.
Good. You've been recorded too.
I knew that.
Actually, we can put it in the conditions of the PD.
Yes, that's what.
All right.
Okay.
Yes.
Anybody else have any other questions?
I have one. I've heard several people came here that have lived here for a while talk about density issues. Too many people in one spot. The reason why they moved into Tomball is because there wasn't that kind of density that they have in Houston. You've gone from a proposal for SF9 back to SF6, and out of this planned development, which you're going to do, which instead of 300 houses, you've gone from 300 houses proposal to 260, but you still have the density issue that these people here that have lived here worry about. I guess it's not much of a question, it's a statement that I don't think anybody in this room, including you, want this to be a part of our blueprint of Houston.
Correct. I'm struggling to know what...
Well, I think the gentleman who walked up here and said, I moved out to Aubrey Trails to get away from density, lives on the same size lot that I'm proposing to develop. Aubrey Trails is 60 by 125. Country Club Green, 75 by 150. They're bigger. They vary. But Aubrey Trails is the exact same thing I'm proposing.
60 by what did you
125.
Say?
125. And you're doing 60 by 130.
And you're doing 60, you're looking at 60 by 130.
So our density matches on Aubrey Trails. It's difficult to match the Belmont Farms density. Just because of the size of the homes, the size, those are acreage tracts.
City, it's not in the, Aubrey Trails is not in the city, right?
Correct.
So y'all don't know what size lots for is what it's rated right now? And I'm not saying you're wrong. I'm not saying you're wrong, but I'm just saying we don't know that.
We don't have that information, no.
No. But, okay.
You got a gentleman in the back who's got a question.
This is Aubrey Trails.
And Aubrey Trails, is that next to Aubrey Manor?
Yes, ma'am.
Yeah, because Aubrey Manor is acreage.
And what Mr. Ibsen has put in front of Mr. Dunnigan is the facet maps from the Harris County Appraisal District's office.
So you're saying these houses were 11, the lots are 11,000 square foot?
Is that what you're saying? Those are the addresses. The 11,000, that's the address.
Okay, where's your square footage on these?
They don't have square footages, they have dimensions, 125 by 60.
You got better eyes than I do.
Better eyes, got glasses.
Okay, I see. It's that. What's that number right there?
60.
And it's?
60.
125, 125, mm-hmm. Okay. Now, are they all the?
This one's 57. For the most part, they're all 60, 55.05.
Okay. How wide are your streets?
They meet Tomball standard.
Okay.
28. How wide are the streets?
I had another question.
How wide are the streets in subdivision?
They'll have to be 28 feet minimum.
28?
Yes.
Okay.
And that will not be used for drainage?
Water will run down the curb line and go into an inlet. So, yes, they.
It's going to have curb.
It's part of the drainage system.
Yeah, but.
A curb street.
Yeah, okay.
But it's not going to be a floodway, is that what you meant? Got it.
Yeah, that's not its sole purpose.
Yeah, but I didn't know that would run to your drainage ditch, but you're going to have it underground.
No, it'll go underground.
Okay. There's a gentleman back there who's got a question, too.
Any other questions of me?
Not at the moment, Liz.
All right, thank you.
Talk. I'm sorry.
Madam Chairman, can I approach?
They cannot.
No. Nope.
I'm sorry, the public hearing is closed. You cannot come up now. So, do y'all have any other questions or thoughts? Discussion? If you do a PD, you can always have conditions on it if you wish.
Excuse me, hang on just a second, sir.
I said, can't we put conditions on the PD that we want included?
You can add things to the PD that were discussed earlier.
Yes.
Yeah.
That we can include. If y'all have any specific concerns, if you wish them added.
That was recommended, but yeah.
I would just like to see more green space, personally.
We can't do it doing it this many houses.
No, you can't. But I am concerned about. Well, in looking at this rendition here of the garages, these things look like they're going to be door to door. And it may just be the drawing. Mr. Myers?
Zero lot lines?
No, they're not zero lot lines.
No, ma'am. That drawing was intended to be diagrammatic, just to show the intent of the garage setback. Mm-hmm. There are no dimensions on there, and it's not indicative of the actual lots.
So what is the average house size if you're looking at putting on these? Square footage.
That was the average house size.
2,600.
I can only speak from two other developments we've done with 60-foot wide lots. They were majority one stories, and when I say majority, 70 out of 74 lots in one
right.
area. And the average square footage of the houses, one stories, were 3,300 square feet on a 60 by 127.
Thank
3,300?
Five-foot side yards.
Five-foot side yards.
So 10 feet between the homes minimum?
Do you fence between them?
Yes. There'll be a fence on the lot line.
I think the biggest concern I have at this point in time is the density.
The density is no greater than Aubrey Trails.
Right, and I've not been in Aubrey Trails. I have no clue how big that is. So it's just the fact that, you know, when you originally started this project a long time ago, it was, and it's gotten smaller. And I understand the economics that are involved. And all. It's just that at the same time, I want to make sure that while, yes, you need to make the money in order to be able to build it and do it properly, I want the standards to be adequate or above adequate for the neighborhood, for everybody else. Because I live in this area, too, and I've been here 40-something years. And I want to see the areas keep the charm and to keep the home atmosphere everybody else wants as well.
I would deeply like to go forward with this project. I would
understand.
Like to bring the top builders in Houston to Tomball.
Mm-hmm. And I would love to have that.
The product would be first class and everybody would be proud of it.
Where are you going to put your school bus stops?
That will be up to Klein School District. Mm-hmm. And that's a good point because if we meet with Klein and Klein says we want to access this belt because we want our school buses to go out on the traffic light, that's a pressing issue for us. That's a safety issue for us.
And that's a concern that I was actually looking at and looking at the way it's
designed. They will not actually plan their routes until probably a week before school starts.
Oh, I understand that. So I just didn't know. Are you going to build school bus stops inside like they used to do?
We actually tried to do that in one subdivision. It
didn't work.
A lean-to type entrance monument, and it became a haven for other than school bus people. So.
Oh, well, then we don't want that. But thank you.
I've got one other question. 49 lots makes it uneconomical is what you're telling us.
It's not 49 lots. It's the price on each lot. The builders are looking for price points to hit the market. And when we started this project and we met with staff, we said, builders are probably asking for 45-foot lots. We want to do a combination of 60s and 50s. The 60s can accommodate a large product spectrum. They're wide, garages, three-car garages, things like this. A lot of different product can be built on 60. The 50s, that brings your price point down a little bit, and that actually feeds towards what City Council had in discussion on past Monday on patio home type product.
Right.
Without an absolute patio home product, which is not really a definitive, it's like a Xerox machine, everybody has a different idea what a patio is. On the 50 foot, we can put in single family, one-story houses. They're not going to be zero lot line, because zero lot line architecturally takes away one whole side of the house from having windows
right.
and anything else.
Right.
So when there are not a patio home product or a garden home product in an area, the people that are desirous of those low maintenance lots with new houses go to the one stories, and that's the market that we're hoping to go after.
Okay. Have any other questions? Commissioner Rocha? All right, thank you very much. I've written all over my little sheet. Okay, is there any other discussion? All right, seeing none, please enter your vote now. Oh boy.
Motion ties, two yeses, two noes.
Motion fails.
That goes forward with a negative recommendation to the council.
It goes to the City Council now.
Yeah.
Okay. Motion fails.
How weird.
Okay.
Two yeses and two noes.
Thank you. Let's see. Okay. Is there a motion to approve adjournment?
Motion to approve adjournment.
All right.
Second.
Is there a second? Did you say second, Mr. Rockmore?
Yeah, he said
second.
First.
Thank you. Anderson. Okay. Please enter your vote now. I hope not.
Yeah, I went out there and looked. I just don't see.
Can everybody enter their vote? Sorry. For adjournment.
Okay. Y'all want to vote? Vote.
I did.
You did?
Vote lock.
Okay. I hit it twice. Okay, now it's going.
So did I.
There you go.
Motion carries unanimously.
Time is now 7:28. The meeting is adjourned.